Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, powered each and every morning by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. Today, a little too hot for me, even for an icy Harvest Ridge, so I have my bubbler from Pepsi, and I'm drinking pomegranate bubbler today. We are joined by the fire department, as we are the second Friday of every month, and today we have firefighter Ryan Hill. Good morning, Mr. Hill.
Good morning.
First and foremost, let's learn a little bit about you. Just whatever you'd like to share. I want to know where you were born, where you were raised, what kind of education you have, how you joined the Quincy Fire Department, how long you've been on there, who your favorite fire chief is. If you don't know the answer to that, then you won't be asked any more questions, okay?
Yes, ma'am. I am a Quincy native, born and raised. I have three children. My oldest attends Quincy Senior High. He's a football player. And to my two youngest as well.
And you're so small. I can't imagine you could have a football player in your family. Well, that's fantastic that you're a native son. I like that. I like when that happens. Yeah. How did you decide to become a firefighter?
Sixth grade career day, actually.
Wow.
They had a bunch of different classrooms set up with various jobs, and the fire department was the first one I stopped at. One of the gentlemen who I've been trying to track down, he offered for everybody to try on his gear. I tried it on, and I've been hooked ever since.
Yeah, you were big enough probably to carry all that gear. I was in Unmasking the Singer, and I was in fire department getup. Man, that is exhaustive. You know, I wouldn't make it off the truck. I mean, after I got that big coat on, I'd be like, call me later.
Yeah.
So that's great. Sixth grade. Now, a lot of people, a lot of boys want to be a firefighter when they grow up, but you kept that desire.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. That's exciting. How long have you been on the department?
I just finished my year up January 30th.
Wow, that's fantastic. Okay, so that's really, really exciting. Glad to hear that. Now, today, I never know what you're going to talk about. First of all, I was gone over the 4th of July. I was out in Northern California where it's so dry that they were saying, please, no fireworks. Of course, there's always some idiots that have to shoot off fireworks in the neighborhood. But did we have any big conflagrations over the 4th of July? Was everything okay? Kind of calm?
Yeah. I actually worked the fireworks detail, my first one this year, and everything went smooth. We had a great crowd come out. No hiccups as far as the fireworks display. So
Stay with the set ones, right? Don't be doing it in your neighborhood.
Right, correct.
I'm always very fearful this time of year. Mm. I was gone. My husband was home, thank God, because I'm like, oh, one bad, stray on the roof, and you could lose it all.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's very, very dangerous. So, you know, everybody loves fireworks, but there's a reason why they're illegal. So, so keep it to that. Also, you guys have the misting machine. Have you been able to work on the out at the parks when they bring their little? You look like you don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I have not.
Okay, well. Yet. Laura Sievert from Arts Quincy said you guys were a big hit at her last event. There's another one coming up Tuesday night, and it's going to be hotter than a firecracker there. So I told everybody if they want to bring their kids in their bathing suits and bring a cover-up for them and a towel, they'll be you guys will be hosing the crowd down a little bit with a misting spray or something like that.
I did hear about that, but that wasn't my shift that day.
Okay.
They did
maybe you'll be lucky if you work Tuesday night. You'll get to do it. I mean, I'd ask for special duty.
Yeah.
Okay, and your favorite fire chief is?
Well, we have our current Bernard Valcamp.
Yeah, that's the answer. That's your favorite.
Definitely my favorite by far.
Thank you. Ryan Hill can keep his job. It doesn't matter how many you've served under. Here's the clue, Brian. Bernie Valcamp is your favorite fire chief if you want to get promoted. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So what topic did you bring for us today? What are we gonna learn today?
So I've actually got two.
Oh, well, that's allowed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our first one is our Explorers program that we offer from ages 13 all the way up to 18. It is a program that we run that essentially is under the umbrella of Boy Scouts of America. And we teach the kids everything that we do in the fire service from all of our various training. Training can be rigorous because we do allow our kids to go into what we call our smoke room. And we teach them smoke behavior. And I think my favorite part of it is we allow them to do what's called a ride-along. That will consist of them showing up at 8:30 a.m. and we will do everything that firefighters do in the daily life, starting with our rig checks, our radio test. We will do everything, as far as eating breakfast together, lunch, dinner, going on various calls to get that real life experience so that when they choose to be a firefighter, they have that full experience, and even going into John Wood and then even testing, so that when they do fill out an application, they can say, hey, I've had fire service experience.
That is fantastic. Of course, your former fire chief, Joe Henning, is a professor of fire science at Western Illinois University and also very active in the Boy Scouts.
Yes.
This is a great program, and it is for boys and girls.
Yes, ma'am.
We want to make clear that we need lady firefighters, too.
Yes, we do.
I think we had one lady firefighter for a short time in Quincy.
We did. Her name was Kate Bulbrake.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. We're not a very big department is one of the reasons,
yes,
but
ma'am.
Why do you think, you know, more women aren't attracted to that lifestyle? Is it because it's hard maybe to be a mom when you're 24 hours on? That's probably part of it, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am. That can be a challenging process in itself to be a mother and be a firefighter as well. Actually, in different states, there are departments that have 30-plus women.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I'm thinking, you know, for somebody who's single, it's probably not a big deal. But the trouble is you start a career.
Yes.
Maybe the first 10 years, you know, no big deal.
Yes.
I don't mind working. And then all of a sudden you get married and you want to have a family. And,
yes,
you know, if there's no accommodation that can be made, or if there's something else that can happen, that can be difficult. But you're encouraging, should they call the Boy Scouts? Should they call the fire station? How should they get involved in this Explorers program?
So they can actually, yes, call down to Central Fire Station and talk to Deputy Chief Michael Dade. And then from there, he will direct them to us, and we can give them all the information that they need to join.
I want to ask you another question that you brought up, Michael Dade. And I've noticed, and, you know, I've not done any survey, but, you know, you guys come every month, and I've noticed that there seem to be quite a few African-American firefighters. Now, Quincy's population of African-Americans is between 3 and 5%.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
You know, I wouldn't expect there to be more than, say, two, you know, I mean, if you're, but you seem to have a larger number. What is your minority count on the fire department?
Right now, it's just myself and Chief Deputy Dade.
That's it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I thought there were more. But that's good. That's representative. But you're always encouraging, I'm
yes,
sure,
ma'am,
minorities and women and other folks to apply.
Because yes,
it's a physical job.
It
has nothing to do with your sex or your race or your ethnicity or your religion. It's just, can you do it?
Yes.
But it is physically demanding.
Yes, that is one of the biggest things that the kids talk to me about, how physically demanding it is, which is why with the Explorers program, we expose them to that so that they have the, you know, the experience and say, hey, this isn't for me, or I love this.
Okay. That's fantastic. So if you're interested in getting your child ages 13 to 18?
Yes, ma'am.
Into the Boy Scouts of America Explorer post, men and women, boys and girls can be part of that. Just call the fire department and they'd be happy to set that up. That is fantastic. What else is on the agenda?
So on the second part here, our application process is about to start. Those will come out August 1st and be available online until September 6th to download. And you can do that at the QuincyIL.gov website, or you can go into City Hall and pick them up as well.
Okay, now, just because applications are open, I know this is the police and firefighters keep like a list.
Yes, ma'am.
You test, and then if you have passed all these tests, then you're, are you anticipating, what's your anticipated hire maybe in the next 12 months? Do you have, how many people are retiring? What kind of anticipated hiring? How many firefighters do you think you're going to need?
So right now we have five candidates that are in the process from our previous list. This list will last almost 2.5 years
mm-hmm.
until a new one is created with the testing process. So the current list will expire in November.
Okay. So if those people aren't hired by November, they'll have to retest and get back on the list again?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So this is for folks who want to be a firefighter in the next year or two.
Mm.
And so they should go ahead and take the test,
yes, ma'am,
and see if they're qualified, because after that, you have to wait for an opening. What kind of openings do you anticipate?
I would say within the next 5 years, we will have quite a few openings because we will have some retirements that are planned coming up.
Not you, because you said Bernie Valcamp was your favorite fire chief. So
yes, ma'am. And I'm
you're
only
not going to get
in.
Fired. Yeah. You're not getting fired yet. Okay. So what did you do before you were a firefighter?
I was actually in construction. I did that for 2.5 years, building houses, garages, a lot of remodels, kitchens,
okay,
bathrooms.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you wanted to be a firefighter, but you didn't get around to it till a year ago.
Yeah. And I also coached football. I've been doing that since 2008,
okay,
so that's kept me busy as
kept
well.
Kept you busy as well. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
My guest today is firefighter Ryan Hill. Again, opportunities for youngsters to learn about the fire service and opportunities for adults. Do you have to be 21? What's the age limit?
20 and a half.
20 and a half.
Yes.
To become on the fire department. And then there's probably an upper limit, too. What's the cutoff for new firefighters?
34.
34. Okay. Okay, so if you're in that age wheelhouse, and what, you know, what would you say to people who are thinking about it? What's the best advantage of being a firefighter?
For those that are family members or that have family, it gives you a lot more time off with your family. It is a career that is ever evolving, and you can learn what we like to call nerding out. I have my Lieutenant Jason Steinkamp here with me today, and he's great when it comes to the service as far as equipment on trucks. And that is one of the coolest features about it. Everybody has a specialty, so any questions you can ask can be answered from A to Z.
And you're learning all the time from your fellow firefighters.
Yes, ma'am.
And then you're developing what you would like to kind of be your specialty.
Yes,
you're
ma'am.
Very good at appearing on the radio. So kudos and hats off
Thank
to you.
You.
And your ambition, you want to stay with fire service now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Someday it'll be Chief Ryan Hill?
Oh, no.
Oh, come on now.
I would love to be Lieutenant.
Oh, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I'd love to be the Chief, but since I don't know a thing about firefighting, the chance... See, it was me and Bertie. I don't know if you knew, but we were neck and neck. Me and Bertie Valcamp, yeah. They went with him.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people were for me, but, you know.
Yeah.
I said, I look good sitting on that truck. They said, you have to do a little bit more, Mary. So,
yeah,
I mean, I thought it was totally unfair. But, you know, that's the way it goes.
Tell me when a People's Choice Award.
Yeah, I would have. Well, you like it as a career. It's good for your family life. You make a pretty good living.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you do. I mean, I don't think you're overpaid by any stretch for putting your life on the line every day, but, I mean, it beats minimum wage, right?
Yes, ma'am, it does.
Okay, so let's get everybody out there. You know, again, so many people are looking for that career, and the great thing about that is you can stay here in your hometown, or,
yes.
You know, I know one of the Dade boys went over to Champaign-Urbana.
Yes, ma'am.
So other people have been promoted and gone other places, so if you have ambition to work your way up the ladder and you want to travel a little bit, the possibility's there.
Yes, ma'am.
What's the biggest fire safety tip off the top of your head before we see you guys again in August? What should we be doing this time of year? I know we just had a drowning. Don't wade in the water,
yes,
right?
Yes.
What other tips do you have for us?
The biggest, I think, would be in the dry season. Just be leery of the debris in yards when burning anything, as far as your recreational burns. And also smoke detectors. That is the number one. Always have those in home.
Oh, gosh, yes. It's such a tragedy when you don't. And the fire department will actually, with the Red Cross and Golden Bridges, there's three agencies now that help provide free smoke alarms, so please do that. Thank you very much. It was very nice to meet you.
You're welcome. Nice
I hope to
too.
See you back again real soon.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, back to work, you guys. I always am scared whenever I have them on. It's like, are they going to make it through the whole 15 minutes without the alarm going off? But you did it.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Give my regards to Bernie.
Yes, ma'am.
I call him Bernie. Okay, thank you very much. Mark Schlippman's in the green room. We'll hear from him in just a moment. Thank you very much, Dunbelly, Chicken Pot Pie, one of my favorites. And another one of my favorites is Mark Schlippman.
Dunbelly's great. I just went there last night.
Really?
It was delicious.
Yeah. Thanks for inviting me. I was across town.
We've invited you to other things that you don't show up to.
I know. I'm the worst with RSVP. I'll be there, and then I RSV no. Okay. Mark Schlippman and Steve Short. Steve Short couldn't make it today. I don't even know who he is, and I don't care about him.
Right.
But Mark Schlippman's here with, of course, Forward by Will Ferrell. You've always got to chase the celebrity.
I do. That's why I'm here with you.
That's why you're here with
just a Will local
Ferrell,
celebrity.
Does Will Ferrell know how famous I've made you being on the Mary Griffith Show? Does he want to be on the Mary Griffith Show?
I don't see why he would not want to.
Okay.
But he's a little busy.
He is a little busy. We're in the weeds. Mark Schlippman is a personal financial advisor, Schlippman Wealth Financial Group, and he's a fiduciary, and you can call him that to his face. He's not insulted by it. Mark, full disclosure, handles almost all my money. The money that makes me money, he handles. The money that I did something stupid with that he told me not to do, we won't go into, because we all do stupid things, but...
Hey.
That was somebody else.
So it could still work out.
It could. Yeah. Thank you, Mark, for always. Yes, you could.
Yeah.
I know it's coming back. I know my Enron shares are going to make it, baby. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
His book is A Guide to Building Wealth and Independence, The Simple Road Toward Financial Freedom, a number one Amazon.com bestseller. This is really exciting. I know when we started talking about this like 3-4 years ago, you said you were going to do this book. And let's talk first, before we get to the financial steps, I want to talk about the aspect of being an author, because you have not done this before.
Correct.
And you found out this is a job. I mean, you had to set aside time every Monday or, you know, talk about how you did this, because you could say, yeah, I really ought to write a book.
It was interesting. You know. So I met Steve Short, my co-author, almost exactly 4 years ago when the boys were going to the University of Kansas, Phi Del Dads at a, you know, function in 2020. So I always go back to 4 years ago. What were we doing in 2020? I mean, we're quarantined and we couldn't do things. And but anyway, so I met Steve and quickly realized he retired at age 50. And there's a lot of things that are not taught in schools. So if you come out and you got a great education and there's not a lot of tools there on how to save money for the future and get on the right path. So anyway, we talked about that for about a year or two. And then we actually, our wives and us, were going to a Rolling Stones concert down in St. Louis, and that's when he lived down in St. Louis. And after the concert, we were talking about more financial topics. He was bringing
them
up.
Your wives were just like, oh, this is so exciting.
Yes.
We're sitting on the edge of our seats.
You see Mick Jagger up there. He's like 110.
Yeah.
I don't know.
At least 111.
85.
Yeah.
Doing great.
You start thinking, gee whiz, I hope he has a 20-year plan because he could live for a while longer.
And I said to Steve, I said, you know, first of all, I said to him about a year into our relationship, I said, you're retired at 50, you know a lot about financial topics, and if you do have a financial advisor, I'm not so sure if they're adding any value, and because he knows a lot of this stuff himself. So he did fire his financial advisor, did it on his own. Not everyone can do that. But parlaying on top of that, I said, you know, we should write a book, an educational manual, basically focused on 20-year-olds. And then the next day I called him. I said, hey, we agreed to do this. He goes, well, I thought maybe we had too much wine. I go, maybe we had too much wine, but we did agree upon doing a book. And so we had a couple meetings, and we decided, you know, what gets measured gets managed, and what gets managed gets measured. And so we decided every Monday for 2 hours, we would commit to writing this book. And it took us 2.5 years. And we got published. We reserve all the rights to the book. And part of the proceeds of this book that sometimes is not talked about is going to Cancer for College. And Cancer for College provides needs-based scholarships to those that are going through cancer or coming through cancer that are going to college. And people don't realize that when a child goes through cancer, there's expenses. And a lot of times a parent loses their job. And so this organization has given away over $9.5 million to need-based recipients to pay for educational experiences through college. So that was big to us that we give back as well. It's been great. It was something I've never done before. But also, Mary, the reason I bring up that story is that I never had any intentions of really writing a book until we decided to go ahead and do it. But also, if you spend a little time every week on something, look at how much of a difference you can make. And people say, well, I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to investing or saving for the future. Well, I had no idea what it was about writing a book. But if you spend enough time and you focus on something, the results can be there over the long term.
And I love it because in the foreword, Will Ferrell is also part of this Cancer for College.
Yes.
And that's how, you know, and what's the name of the fraternity that you guys are all involved in?
Nothing to do with the book or Will Ferrell, but our boys are Phi Delta and University of Kansas.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he says, Will Ferrell says, great reason to buy this book. A portion from every book sold goes to Cancer for College. You know, blah, blah, blah. He says, I think I like Mark after all. This is a charity that I've been involved with for 30 years. It's near and dear to my heart. So he was talking about how he loves Steve Short and, you know, blah, blah, blah and everything. But, you know,
it was interesting, Mary.
It was interesting to meet him, I'm sure. And
it was unexpected. I went to a charity fundraiser, and Steve invited me to dinner. And so I walk into this restaurant in San Diego, or San Diego, however you want to pronounce it, if you're Will Ferrell. And I walked in, and there's a table of about eight, and I sat down. And I looked to my right, and it's Will Ferrell. And I had no clue that he was going to be at this dinner. And so it was very interesting, but people think of Will Ferrell as Will Ferrell, the actor.
Yeah, the goofball.
He is so gracious and humble and a great person. And he talks about, and not to put words in his mouth, but you know, he grew up, his dad was a musician for the Righteous Brothers. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Mm-mm.
He played the bass for the Righteous Brothers. And he realized that his own father, it was like feast or famine. You would have gigs at a restaurant, and you're doing great for 3 or 4 months. And then you lose your gig because they're on to the next musician. And so he witnessed that his dad, you know, it was truly, you didn't know where your next gig was going to be. And Will is extremely, very, very conservative with his own money, saves a lot because he has that mindset that you don't know where your next gig's going to be. And so he learned early on, you got to save your money for the future because you have no idea what the future holds for you. So it's very interesting hearing his story. But a lot of having Will partake in this is that this industry, investing, doesn't have to be so boring and so serious. I mean, it's a serious business. And so having some comedic perspective to this is also part of the tie into this book that, you know, people think of having a budget and financial planning is like blah, blah, blah. And a lot of times people don't want to do it. But this book truly gives people the confidence maybe to ask the questions or to at least get a game plan going. And it's not an advocate to hire a financial advisor. A lot of people in their 20s and 30s do not need a financial advisor. They need to get going and get a game plan going. But also the book goes into estate planning topics. And so I truly believe it could benefit all ages. But even more importantly, if you want to educate yourself to help educate your own parent, your own children or your own grandchildren. And that's a real leg up.
It is. My guest today is Mark Schlippman from Quincy, Schlippman Wealth Group. He is the co-author of A Guide to Building Wealth and Independence, The Simple Road Towards Financial Freedom. And we're going to take a break because I have to get my salary paid here by Rex Battery and the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. So we'll take a break, but when we come back, we'll talk about some simple strategies. And of course, it's never too late because a lot of people say, well, I waited too long. Well, yes, you have waited too long, but guess what? You can start this very minute. So stay tuned, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. In the 15 minutes we have left, we're going to get a little bit of free advice from Mark Schlippman. Mark's practice is so incredibly successful. You're not really looking for new clients anyway, so you're not on here to really hawk, come and I'll tell you what to do with your money. You do want to sell a lot of copies of the book, and well, that'll be great.
The thing is that it doesn't have to be an intimidating process.
Right.
And people in their, I'd say, under 50 sometimes don't want to make that appointment and get started. And so the book was really directed to get people on the right footing moving forward and get a plan going. One of the principles we talk about, you know, and you, a lot of people mentioned Dave Ramsey. Nothing wrong with Dave Ramsey at all. But we're seeing that the younger generation are not subscribing to all the Dave Ramsey principles. I mean, some people, I mean, including myself, I really would not want my kids to eat ramen every night until they had... They were debt-free. So there's got to be like a Dave Ramsey light type thing. And so, and we're not about not having the latte. I mean, so a lot of times people are like, you know how much that latte is costing you? But the lattes are fine. The avocado toast is fine. All that is great if you follow what we call the 50-30-20 plan. So 50-30-20. So 50% of what you make goes towards what you need in life. You know, food, shelter, etc. Save 20%, so 50, 20, 30, save 20%, then 30% is for all the wants that you want. The stuff that, you know, may not make sense financially, but you got to live life. And so truly getting people to save that 20% of everything they earn. The 20% doesn't always have to come from your back pocket. So a lot of times people have a match on their retirement account. So that right there. So a lot of times if you put in a dollar, the employer puts in a dollar, that's free money. That adds to the 20% as well. Looking at discounts, coupons, et cetera, there's a lot of free money out there and offers if you're smart with your money. But if you save 20% and you stay within your lifestyle of means and don't accumulate a lot of credit card debt, et cetera, you're going to have a very good retirement by saving 20%.
And yeah, that's the key. I mean, Dave Ramsey's like, don't get into debt. And your key is, yeah, don't do that either, but, you know, basically save 20% if everybody would do that. Mark, one of the problems, I love your 50-30-20, and I'm a client of yours. I, you know, practice that. But for some people out there going, oh, 50 for my needs? Honey, I need 95%
right.
of what I make for my needs. And so that's part of the problem is some people, I mean, if you are, but it doesn't matter how low your income is. It doesn't matter if you're a minimum wage worker at a fast food restaurant.
Right.
If you save 20%, if you can live without that 20% when you're, you know, 20 to 40, think you'll be a millionaire by the time you're 60.
We love, you know, I've taught classes at John Wood before, et cetera. And one of the telling things is give me your credit card statements. And what are those reoccurring charges that we just kind of ignore? So let's be honest with ourselves. Do you have a gym membership that you're paying $20 a month that you just are like, oh, I'm not going to use it, but it's still there? You don't go through the process of canceling it. Is there an app on your phone that you're paying $6 a month for Blinkist or whatever to be able to listen to a magazine in 5 minutes or a book? What are those reoccurring charges in your life? I mean, do you really need to spend $240 on DirecTV? I don't know what the issues are, but there's a lot of times when people go deep and spend some time on your business, spend some time on your personal finances, and hey, where's my money going? Where's my burn rate? Where's all this money going? And if you really look at your things that you're spending money on every month, and maybe you're not even realizing you're spending money on, could you come up with some free money to help save towards the future? And I would say yes. I would say every business, I don't care if it's down to paperclips on saving money on paperclips, every business, every not-for-profit organization has the ability to save money somewhere and cut costs and cut expenses. But it's also a lifestyle business. I mean, I've got a lot of clients that work with us, obviously, and you know, a question came up a couple of weeks ago, and they're like, hey, we want to go buy a boat. I'm like, all right, let's look at the numbers and let's plug it in. And it's not going to change their financial life. Great. Go buy the boat. We're not here saying you can't have luxuries of life, but it's got to be within your means. And that 50 for your needs, 20% you got to save. Put the 20% ahead of your 30% for your wants. That's key. So 50, 20, 30, get that 20% in first. And you, if you are in a 401k for the young people and you're currently contributing 3% to get that match, encourage yourself, hey, can I do 5%? Am I really going to miss it for my payroll? I don't know. You got to do the numbers yourself. But for most people, it's not. And 1 or 2 or 3% extra a year, as you know, Mary, can make a huge difference over the 5 or 10 years. And if you see the numbers and the projections, that's what this book is doing, is to encourage people to look at all different angles of their life.
Yeah, this book is definitely a different tact. You have to understand Mark's philosophy. It is very different from Dave Ramsey's. Not, well, you know, I mean, it's not very different. I mean, they're both trying to build.
I have more hair.
Well, you do have more hair.
Yeah.
Skinnier. But one thing, you know, it's so interesting because Dave has a saying, it's probably trademarked, the everyday millionaire. I mean, you, without naming names, you probably know people that have been with your practice now for 20, 30 years. They're millionaires.
Right.
And they're just walking around Quincy, Illinois, or wherever. You've got locations now in multiple places.
Right.
They're just walking around basically doing what they've always done, but they saved 20% when they were young.
Right.
They saved as much as they could. I've had conversations with my coworkers. Let's get more people involved in our 401k sharing plan here at the radio station. Well, I can't do that. I said, if the boss got on the intercom right now and said, everybody who walks in front of my door gets a 3% raise, we'd all be standing there. That's basically what they're saying.
Exactly.
If you're matching 3%, 5%, whatever, some companies match more, you know, whatever legally is by law, you can put, I think, up to 15% or 20% of your income in there. Why wouldn't you take advantage of your employer match? Yet, they're saying to me, I can't give up the latte. I can't give up not having a new car every year. I can't give up the latest trend in fashion. I can't give up my purse or my shoes.
Right.
Because I just can't, because I need that. You don't understand, Mary. I can't save anymore. And the problem is, when you have that mindset, help people get out of that mindset, because I can't. It's like I can't write a book about losing weight, but I can write a book about investing, you know, saving 20%, because I'm good at that.
Yeah.
But how do you talk to the people? I mean, I can't do a seminar on how to lose weight because I'm not a success story at that.
Or how not to go gray by 30,
yeah.
Which I was really good at it.
You were great at that.
I was great. Oh.
You got distinguished early on. So let's talk about that, because the saving 20%, I think, in the time we have remaining is what we can really punch it out here. How do you make that sacrifice?
So here's the thing. Is the title of the book is not How to Become a Millionaire. The title of the book is The Simple Road Towards Financial Freedom. That is different for everybody. And so your financial freedom, my financial freedom, anybody else's financial freedom is going to be different. But the thing is, if you can't give up things to have the retirement you want, you got to realize that when you're 35 or 45 or 55, realize there's a consequences for everything we do. It's a trade-off balance. If you want to have and not save in your 30s, 40s, and 50s, fine. But you also got to realize that you're going to have probably not the retirement that you're going to possibly want to enjoy. However, everyone's goal is not to accumulate millions of dollars. But if your goal is to, and you really want to get on that path, then the book will talk about that. If you want to live off Social Security and maybe have a house paid for or still rent, and you're comfortable with that, and that is your financial freedom, I think contentment is wonderful. I mean, if I could be more content in life, I'd probably look at that as being a gift. So that's also part of the whole thing is visualization. We talk about in the book. First of all, figure out what your goal is in life, what's going to make you and potentially your spouse satisfied in retirement. Visualize that. And if that is the reality you want, then make sure that whatever actions you're doing today is moving you closer or further away from your goal. So I talk about that. We talk about that with weight loss. We talk about that with investing. Is my next decision going to get me closer to my goals or further away? And I look at that too. I mean, Trisha made, my wife made cookies last week, and I don't think 6 cookies got me towards my goal of possibly slimming down a little bit more. I should probably have had maybe a half or split it. But I realized that if you look at even things in your life, once you get an idea what your goals are, then your actions need to relate to that long-term goal. So if your goal is not to accumulate millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you're fine with that, that's great.
Yeah, your
that's goal, wonderful.
Contentment, you know, like you said, Refreshment Services Pepsi, Harvest Ridge Coffee. I always say life is too short to drink crappy coffee.
100% agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it doesn't have to be a $15 cup of coffee, but let's say that you're going to say, I have to have better coffee. Because when I retire, I want to be able to drink a cup of coffee. So maybe while I'm working, I'll have instead of 4 cups, store-bought or expensive this week, I'll cut that down to 3 because then when I retire, I can also have 3.
Right. And if I, and my personal goal, if I get my stuff done throughout the week, you'll probably see me at Winks Coffee on Friday mornings getting a cup of coffee. So there's a reward system too in life. And so, and there's nothing wrong.
It's not all agony and sacrifice, but that 20% off the top is very difficult. And I think part of the reason is because when we really should be doing that, when we can really gain the most is when we're in our 20s and 30s. And that's when our brain isn't really fully developed and we're not mature and we don't see, we want that automatic gratification. If you can just cut back a little bit and say, this is what I enjoy travel. Well, guess what? Now that I'm almost retired, I can travel. I just traveled, you know, because I did make some sacrifices in my 20s and 30s. That 20% rule is critical.
And the number,
really think people, if they could just do that, the whole world would change.
Totally agree with you. Thank you. And the biggest, one of my favorite chapters, it's pretty short, actually. It's on estate planning. And it's really, the first part of it is geared towards the younger generation. But when it comes to estate plan, there's only 4 things to know. Don't count on it. That's it. I think a lot of younger people are counting on their parents' wealth, and we can't do that. So I think between you and I and maybe a couple other people that we have a great chance of living to 100. So longevity is great. You could actually be retired longer than you actually physically worked. And with health care costs and long-term care, I a lot of times see where people in their 30s and 40s and 50s are counting on mom and dad's money. And you know, that's probably not a good, it is a strategy. I don't think it's a good strategy. So personal accountability for yourself is huge.
Hope, Greg, you always say, Mark always says, hope is a strategy, Mary, but it's not what I'm recommending for you with this money.
There's a lot of hopium.
There's a lot of hopium.
Out there.
We've got 2 minutes left. And since you've got children, I want you to give a note out there to parents because you just said that, you know, be careful. You want your kids to be successful. You can cripple them. You can cripple them. I mean, if your kids expect to replicate what you and Trisha have, they're going to have to work for that.
Right.
How do you tell kids? I mean, they went to good, great universities and probably bought them things that, you know, other kids didn't have. How, now that they're adults, how are you enforcing this? Like, hey, I mean,
The mindset is, it's not ours. It's my parents. And so, you know, people come over and, hey, you have a great house. Well, it's my parents' house. And so, and that's true. I mean, so I believe it starts not, I mean, it can start at any age, but it starts early on, is that you've got to instill in your children good habits. And, but I think, Mary, the thing that this book does is that, I mean, everyone is raised differently. And if you're in your 20s and you haven't heard a lot of these financial topics, the book is a great source of information.
Right. If your parents didn't teach you.
And most of the times, it's money talk, usually around the kitchen table from what I hear in the last 30 years of being in this industry, is usually negative. Like, things are bad or things are not so great or there's not a lot of positive conversations about money because, you know, people really don't want to talk about it a lot of times. And people are just trying to get by. But it comes back down to your goals and objectives. And this generation of younger people, not to typecast them, but they're not looking at, you know, building the mansions. I mean, their mentality is a little bit different. It's more about life experiences. It's about giving back and charitable interests. And but it all comes down, Mary, as you know, personal responsibility, personal accountability. There's only one way to pay for retirement, and it's typically going to be from whatever decisions you make today.
Thank you very much, Mark Schlittman.